The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Kind of an interesting passage today because we're going to talk about God's power, but we're going to talk about prayer. It'll make sense eventually, I hope. That's kind of the way we're hoping for. The title of today's message is, Why Pray? Really, why should you pray? I mean, I know we know the Sunday school answers. Well, Jerry, we pray to become closer to the Father. Right? That's the Sunday school answer we all give. Do you pray? Yes, I pray every day. Look, saying over your cornflakes in the morning, Dear Lord, bless my cornflakes, amen. It's kind of prayer, you know, I call them, you've heard it before, I call them spiritual McNuggets. You know, a chicken McNugget looks kind of like a chicken, it's supposed to be chicken, doesn't look like a chicken, doesn't really, I'm not sure it even tastes like a chicken. It's just they call it a chicken McNugget. That could be, I don't know what it is, but I know it just, it doesn't, no chicken has ever looked at a thing of chicken McNuggets and said, Uncle Bob? No, it's never happened. And I wonder sometimes if what we call, what we think of as prayer is really what God meant when he gave us this incredible gift of being able to pray to him. So I think we need to look at it a little deeper. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this very reason, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I love that verse. Look at it again, verse 18. You may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. God, we're going to talk about your power this morning. And how it works in us, and how we access it. God, do something great in us. We ask it in your name. Amen. Today really is kind of a recap of all the other messages we've had, because we've talked about God's power all through this series. And you're going to keep hearing it, because it's a recurring theme in Ephesians, is that God has this great power for us, and in us, and through us. And one of the kind of the themes we've talked about all through this is the body. We're the body of Christ and how we all fit together. Understanding who the church is and how we relate to one another. We've seen some incredible things already. I just want to kind of recap a couple of things we've already talked about. Chapter 1, verse 17, Paul prays that we'll know who Christ is. Look at verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's important that we know who God is. Because we've got a messed up idea of who God is sometimes. We go to one of two extremes. God is either the big blue meanie in heaven who is waiting for us to mess up so that he can just, you know, kill us. Or do something, you know, turn us into frogs or something. Or we have the other idea of God, and that is that he is this big marshmallow cream puff in heaven, and he just loves everybody. And if you mess up, oh, that's okay, buddy. Truth is, God is both of those. Now, maybe not so much the God who wants us to make mistakes, but he is a God who has a standard and says, I will not deviate from that standard. And if you want to be called by name, my name, live to that standard. He also is the God who, when we fall, when we mess up, gets up, dusts off our britches, tells us, it's okay, let's start again. There's a balance there, but the problem is we lean too heavily one way or the other way. When we're doing bad, we're afraid of God. But we're also hoping he is that big cream puff in heaven. Look at verse 18. Paul says he wants us to know who we are in Christ. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glory and glorious inheritance in his holy people. It's just important for you to know who you are in Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian? Not just what are the responsibilities, what are the rights? As a Christian, what has God given you? As a Christian, what are you able to stand up and say, wait a second, I am a child of the King. I know what God has for me. He has blessings, not cursings. I know that God has something great in store for me. Why do I know that? Because I'm his child. See, and a lot of times we live like poor paupers instead of kids of the King. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about in our daily walk, in our daily lives. We live like we're poverty-stricken when we're rich beyond measure. All of God's blessings, all of God's power, all of God's grace, all of God's wisdom is all available to us, and we walk around like sheep walking around in a pasture because we don't know where we're going. And God says, if you would just ask, if you would just trust me, if you would just listen to me, I'll guide you, I'll direct you, I'll do all these things in you. Finally, verse 19, he refers to God's, look at 19, God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. See, the main idea of this whole thing is that God's power is absolute, and it's available to you. And I want you to listen to this now. Everybody look up here. Look at me. It just makes me feel handsome when you do. Okay, look up here. Look at me. Okay. God's power is available to you. Not to the corporate you, because we all want to do that, don't we? Well, yes, God's power is available to the church as a whole. I believe you, Jerry. No. God's power is available to you. Individually, all by your lonesome. You don't need anybody else with you. It's not like, you know, Wonder Twin Power Unite, form of a Christian. No, it's not that. Some of you are older, remember the Wonder Twins. The young kids are like, what? Now, and I know, some of you are saying, well, wait a second, Jerry, I've heard all through my life, I've heard all through my Christian walk that God's power is available to me. I don't see it. Okay, let me put it this way. I have said that. I'm sure none of you have ever have because you're all far more spiritual than I. I don't believe it. Anyway, right? Let's be honest and say there are times when we say, I keep hearing about this, but I'm not seeing it. I keep hearing about God's love, about God's blessings, and yet I'm going to have trouble making rent this month. I keep hearing about God's blessings and God's power, but I'm still hurting. I keep hearing about all this stuff, Jerry, but I'm not seeing it. If God's power is out there, available for the benefit of his people, where is it? How do I experience it? That's where we get to the crux of this matter today. Why pray? Because the way we experience it is through prayer. The way we get access to God's power, to God's grace, to God's love, to God's guidance through his wisdom is by prayer. And not those little chicken McNugget prayers. Lord, bless me, bless everybody. Amen. If I was God, that's when I would turn you into a frog. Really? Really? I gave you that, this great thing of prayer, and that's what you do with it? I gave you a Ferrari, and you put spinner rims on it, and what is wrong with you? You know, doesn't that make sense? I gave you this great thing and you abuse it. You don't do it. You're not even trying to do it right. You ever watch your kid do something? You give him a cool toy. I'm probably not all of you have. I know I have. I gave my son this radio control car, and granted, Critter was little, but he just kept going in circles, and little tiny circles, almost like donuts. Critter, it'll go straight. Give me that. I'll show you how. And I ran it into a wall. I really did, and kind of dented it. And he just looked at me like, "Nice job, Dad." And I wonder sometimes if God isn't in heaven saying, hey, dude, I gave you something, use it. I gave you awesome power available. I gave you this great stuff, use it. And see, and the question we all have sometimes, if God's going to give it to me, why do I have to ask? You ever think about that? If God was just going to give you grace, if God was going to give you strength, if God was going to give you wisdom, why couldn't he just give it to you? He's got all the power. And I'll tell you why I think it is. I think it's because we need to have some skin in the game. I think it's because we have to have something at stake. You ever seen a spoiled rich kid? Paris Hilton? I mean, think about it. Poor Paris. And you can look at her life and see she's made some pretty big errors in judgment. But she always comes out of it because there's plenty of money and lawyers and stuff to keep her out of trouble. Do you really think she appreciates all she has? And I don't mean to cast off on her. I'm just thinking that if everything is just given to you, you don't appreciate it. If everything was just handed to you, if God just said, okay, your life's perfect, would you really appreciate it? Or would you just find a way to mess it up? We're good at that. So how do you access it? How do you experience it? You pray. So I'm going to give you three reasons you need to pray. Why pray? Here's three reasons. Number one, we pray because we need strength. Maybe you don't. I know I do. I need a lot of strength. Verse 16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you a mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. I like that phrase. Glorious, unlimited resources. Anybody here got unlimited resources? If you have unlimited resources, Jeremiah and Frank and I would love to talk to you. Because we could do some cool stuff. None of us has unlimited resources. In fact, quite the opposite, most of us have very limited resources. God has unlimited resources. I love it's Psalm chapter 50, verse 12. All the world is mine and everything in it. We're told he has the cattle on 1,000 hills, that every bird of the mountain, all the world is mine and everything in it. You think God's kind of got unlimited resources? When you are able to make a world by the words you speak, I would say you got some clout. You and I can't make a mud ball with the words we speak. Let's all try it right now. Okay. We're just thinking about it. And on three, we'll all say, make a mud ball. All right, ready? One, two, three. Yeah, some of you didn't even try. No wonder we can't make a mud ball. You're not even going to try. Can we make that happen? That's called ex nihilo, the ability to create something from nothing. We don't have that power. God does. And when God says, I've got everything, everything is mine. And then he also says we share in his unlimited resources. Wow. I want you to think about it for a minute. You're connected. That's cool. So why do we act like we're not? Why do we live like we're not? Why are we stressing over stuff? I got to be honest with you. I stress over stuff too. I've had a situation going on, and it stresses me out. And yet, I got to tell you, I got a meeting tomorrow morning where it's. I was telling Jeremiah earlier, this is the closest thing to a miracle I think I've seen in a long time. If God does what it looks like he's worked out, I will have watched something that I never thought could happen in the matter of days. It's incredible. It's incredible. God can give you anything he wants. Money, possessions, prestige, success, life of privilege. He can give you anything he wants to give you. And Paul made it clear throughout Ephesians, God wants to give you the very best. So what does he choose to give you? Because I know right now you're all thinking, okay, he can give me money, he can give me possessions. No, he wants to give you the best. You're thinking the wrong terms. A Ferrari is not the best. That is something that's going to break, and you're going to put stupid rims on, and what's he choose to give you? Look at verse 18. You may have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. He can give you anything in the world. What he wants to give you most of all is the ability to know his love. And I know what you're thinking. Okay, I really want to know his love, but man, a Ferrari would be nice, Jerry. You just break it. I don't think I could get in it. Some Maxwell's grease on my hips and somebody to bend my back just right, maybe. I don't think I get in it, but man, it'd be good. It'd look good in my driveway, wouldn't it? Hey, yeah. And 2 years of sitting, I'm going to have to replace the tires. I mean, think about it. Everything you get, everything material that you could think of is going to go bad. Everything rots. Everything destroys. Everything goes bad. We live in a world of entropy. We live in a world where things get worse, not better. The second law of thermodynamics says that everything gets worse. You leave it on its own, everything gets worse. So God knows that if he just gave you all the monetary stuff, all the possessions you want, it would just go bad. What he wants to give you is something better. We're asking for peanuts, and God says, wait a second, I got filet mignon for you. You're asking for a hot dog, I got a steak dinner. You're asking for marbles, and I've got pearls. I've got diamonds. We get so caught up in all the material stuff we don't have, we forget about the blessings we do have. And it's easy to do, guys. Love is God's greatest resource. In fact, love is so important to God that that's how he defined himself. The Bible says that God is love. In order for us to experience the fullness of God in our lives, which includes experiencing his power at work within us, we need to begin to develop at least an inkling of the awesomeness of his love. Look at verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you'll never fully understand it. You will never fully understand God's love. Try as you might, you never will. When my grandpa passed away, he hadn't fully experienced God's love. And this is a guy who told me once after he'd been in the ministry forever and ever and ever, you know, Jerry, no matter what I start preaching about, I always end up talking about God's love. For 20 years, the last 20 years or so of his ministry, just about everything he preached about had to do with God's love, because he said it was the key. It was the key to everything. Everything. August Hare once said, and this, I'm kind of paraphrasing it, the love flows downward. The love of parents for their children always seems to be higher than the love of children for their parents. As a parent, and if you haven't experienced this yet, you will. You just want to look at your kid and say, you know what, if you knew how much I love you and how much I wanted for your life, you wouldn't grumble to me about emptying the trash. Yeah, all the parents said amen. All the kids said, shut up, Godsey, we hate you. In the same way, no man ever loved God more than a thousandth of the love God had for him. How you know? Because God gave his son for you. And he did it willingly. That's the thing. He didn't have to. God loves you far more than any parent could love a child. God loves you more than you can fully comprehend. Augustine said it best, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. Paul's prayer and our prayer should be that we just grasp it. Just understand God's love. Because that's the key to God's power. Understand, once you fully comprehend how much God loves you, you understand his power and what it can do in your life. That's powerful. But it starts with us. Second thing, we need to pray because we need God's love. Not because we need God's love for us. There's more to it than that. Early in my ministry as a youth pastor, and my kids, I stressed consistency in reading your Bible and prayer, your daily walk with the Lord. And I really believed that if you did those things, you were a successful Christian. And look, I'm not saying anything, so those things are wrong. You do need to read your Bible consistently. You do need to pray consistently. You need to be in church. You need to be applying these things. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. I'm just saying that I reached a point in my ministry where I said, there's got to be more to it than this. I sensed that there was something missing. I learned and I had the nagging feeling that there was something more that we should be doing. We weren't being the church. I would think of grassroots political groups. They were consistent. They did all the things they were supposed to do. And I started to think, really, the only difference between them and us is the name on the door. Think about it. We talk about winning sports teams. Why? They're good. And they know the fundamentals, and they do the fundamentals, and that's what makes them good. John Wooden, when he coached the UCLA Bruins, every year used to make them learn how to put on their socks and tie their shoes correctly. Every year. And Bill Walton, who was always kind of a on his own kind of guy anyway, Bill Walton said, Coach, this is my fourth year here. I don't need to learn how to put on my socks and tie my shoes again. And Coach Wooden said, you're right. You don't have to do this. You don't have to play either, but you don't have to do this. Walton said, okay, and he sat through the class on how to tie his shoes and put on his socks. Because John Wooden really felt, there's a reason they call him the Wizard of Westwood, one of the greatest coaches ever. By the way, also an incredibly humble Christian man. Anything I can read about John Wooden, I do. There is a quote from John Wooden on the door outside the evidence processing room at the sheriff's office. I put it there. And the quote is, if you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over? And I want the deputies to think about that when they go in the room and put together their evidence for us. After being in a youth ministry for a while, and I still wasn't a full-on youth pastor, my grandfather and I were talking, and I found it. I had one of those moments. My grandpa was talking to me about the book of Philippians. Look at Philippians 1:9. I pray that you love each other, your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. Now, there is no evidence to support this, but I believe that at that moment, a light bulb actually showed up above my head. Like in the cartoons, you know, bing. I had one of those aha moments, those moments of clarity. I think I said something very profound at the time, like, wow. And for me, that's very deep and profound. Wow is about, you know, wow is upside down. I'll let that sink in on some of you. I suddenly realized in that one conversation with my grandfather that what was missing was love. See, we can do all the busyness of the Christian life. We can do all the stuff that we're supposed to do. But if we don't love each other, if we don't love other people, if we don't love the lost, we're worthless. We're not everything we can be. We're fighting a prize fight with one hand tied behind our back. We're trying to live life handicapped, and we're handicapping ourselves because we won't love somebody. See, and I always thought that people who just, you know, pastors who talked about love were just talking about easy believism. Oh, that's the easy way. You know, love, 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 love. If you just love everybody, you'll be all right. You know what? I misunderstood what some of them were saying. Maybe some of them were saying it the wrong way. But let me tell you something. If we love people, God's power flows through us. What did we say the first point? That if we fully understand God's love, that's how we access God's power. If we access God's love, we access God's power because it begins to flow through us because his love is all about him. Doesn't it stand to reason then that if we start showing God's love to other people, that God's power flows through us as part of his love and our love? That is so vital for us. We need this. Discipline, consistency, organizational skills, they're great to have, but they're no match for love. If I had someone on a ministerial staff, if I had to choose between somebody who was a great preacher, had great organizational skills, and somebody who maybe wasn't as good but had love for people, I'll take the guy that loves people. Because I can teach him to be organized. Well, as much as I am. Maybe I bring in a consultant. Help both of us at the same time. I can teach him how to put together a message or do all the stuff that goes in the ministry, but I can't teach him to love. That's got to come from your heart. And we've got to access that, guys. We've got to think, every time we meet somebody, how do I show God's love to this person? How do I show God's love? And by doing that, let them have a taste of God's power. How do I bless their life? And it's so simple. It's so basic. And it took me a while to learn. The great philosopher Pearl Bailey. Some of you don't know who Pearl Bailey is, but she's not a great philosopher. She's just a funny lady. Pearl Bailey said, what the world really needs is more love and less paperwork. Christian life is a life of love. Love should permeate every aspect of your life. Look what Paul says, verse 17. May your roots go down deep in the soil of God's marvelous love. May your roots go down deep in the soil of God's love. How does a tree grow? From the roots. The roots go down. The deeper the roots go down, the more nutrients the tree has access to. The wider the roots, the more it has access to, and the greater it grows. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. You guys getting the wow moment yet? Look at verse 18. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. How wide is God's love? I don't know. I've never run out of it yet. And trust me, if you know me, that's pretty hard to believe. Wait a second. You, Jerry Godsey, you've never run out of God's love? You, with all of your being a pain in the neck and other places, you've never run out of God's love? Never have. I mean, that enough. I could end the sermon right here. That should be enough for you. Just to know that I, Jerry Godsey, have never run out of God's love. That should be enough to prove the point. Oh, okay, well, if he hasn't, I'm sure not gonna. How long is God gonna love you? How high, how deep is God's love? Verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ. Experience the love of Christ. See, all of this talk about love of Christ doesn't do any good till you experience it. I told you before, this again, and I'm just a simple guy. I had a Chuck E. Cheese experience. was youth pastor in El Cajon, and they had told me about Chuck E. Cheese, and it was a lot better than the one we have here. It was one of the original ones. It had all these hooves in the, and they were telling me about all the stuff, and they said, the pizza's not that great, but it's a fun place to go. And I'm like, all right, well, it doesn't sound a lot great to me. Why are we going here again? The food's not that good, but, okay, I was a youth pastor. And I would love to say that I was there because of my child, but I really was interested for me. Isaac was like 2. And I just thought, well, okay, I'll take him, and that'll be my excuse. That's the bad thing now. We don't have any kids around to make it okay for us to go to kids' movies. We still want to go to most kids' movies, not all of them, because some of them are dumb. But Lynette and I went and saw Brave the other day. We were like the only people in the whole building without a kid with them. And she looked around, and she said, well, I said, I don't care, just watch the movie. See, and I knew all about Chuck E. Cheese. They told me, well, it has this big rat that plays a guitar. Well, he's a mouse, I guess. I don't know what he is, but he looks kind of rat-like. That's what I'm just saying. I'm not saying there's a rat. I'm just saying he's rat-ish, okay? And they got hooves on the wall, the clap, and they got these other little animals, and it's really cool. God seemed like, oh, okay, whatever. Then I went. I honestly don't remember what the pizza tasted like because I don't think I ate any. Because I'm like a real geek when it comes to gadgets and stuff, and I like to try and figure out. I walk in this place, and it's just like sensory overload for me. There's a rat playing the guitar. What is going on here? This is crazy. And then there's all these, you know, elephant hooves clapping, and I'm just like, this is great. What's the difference? I knew all about that stuff, but I never experienced it. All of a sudden, I walked in, and now, this is pretty cool. Pizza's still lousy, by the way. Until you experience God's love, you can know everything about it, and you're empty. Until you fully experience God's power working through you, all of this is just talk. All of this is just some bald guy reading to you from a book. May you experience the love of Christ. How do you immerse yourself in God's love? 2 words that always come to mind, meditate and contemplate. The word meditation shows up like 14, 15 times in the Bible. We're told to meditate on God's word. We're told to let it sink in. Meditation is thinking in a specific direction. Contemplation is thinking for an extended duration. That's how you get immersed in God's love. Think about it. After that conversation with my grandfather, I looked up every verse on love I could find in the Bible. Every verse on love. Do you know how many verses on love there are in the Bible? It's a lot. And then I started going, okay, well, if God loves us, then what does that love mean? And how does it get applied? And what does that mean to me as a Christian that God loves me? And what does that mean about me in my daily walk and in the people that I deal with? What does that mean that God loves me? Man, I started opening it up, and it blew my mind. And let me tell you something. If looking at God's love doesn't blow your mind, it'll sprain your brain because something's going to happen. So here's what I do. This is the way Jerry Godsey processes this. I start reading in my quiet time, I open my Bible to a verse that maybe reaffirms God's love for me. And as I read it, I say, God, please make these words real to my life. Then I start asking myself questions like, how would knowing that I'm loved by God affect what I think about myself? How would it affect the way I love other people? If I know that God loves me and He forgives me, then what does that mean that I should do for other people? If I'm supposed to show God's love, shouldn't that mean that I show love and forgiveness to other people? How would it affect the way I work, the things I do? How would it affect the way I look for other people's approval? I mean, just so many ways. And then I pray, God, make your love real to me. Is this a 60-second Chicken McNugget prayer? No. This is saying, okay, God, this is so important to me that I'm going to spend some time with you on this. Here's the thing. We live in a world of quick fixes. When my grandma was cooking, fried chicken took all day. Now we go to Walmart, we can get it in 15 seconds. Which one you want? All right, I'll take that one. Yeah. Now we have microwaves. Everything's real quick for us. Everything's fast. Everything's available to us. We don't remember what it's like to stop and slow down and apply ourselves. Let me tell you something. You don't learn God's love that fast. You apply yourself to it because there is no way your brain can comprehend it. So you've got to start chewing on it little by little, bite by bite. You go to Johnny's and you get a machaca and egg burrito. You shove that whole puppy in your mouth all at once. Now, I've seen a couple of you guys. I think you can. A couple of these young guys, Chris Jones, you go to lunch with Chris Jones, you just try to keep your hands and feet away from the opening because, I mean, there's a vacuum. You get sucked in. So we like take a stick and we shove the plate, you shove the plate over to him and then stand back. I can't wait to tell Chris I said that about him. Yeah, exactly. I won't play the podcast for him. No, how do you eat it? A bite at a time. You bite it, chew it. Might savor it for a moment. I taste egg. You might make a remark to the person around you. You know, the spices in this burrito are excellent. I got news for you. If you're that excited about a Johnny's burrito, you need to get out of the house more often. But think about it. We take time. You've got to take time to experience God's love. You've got to let it grow into you. All right. Finally, we pray because we need God's power. To the extent that we understand God's love, we experience His power in our lives. Look what Paul says in verse 19 again. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's so great you'll never fully understand it. Then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. So what's the step? Experience the love of Christ, even though you're never going to fully get it. And then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Isn't he basically saying here that until you fully experience Christ's love, you're not going to fully experience his power? That your life is not going to have the fullness it should have? If you're sitting here today and your life is missing something, I submit to you that you've never fully experienced God's love. Don't we all go through those times where we feel like there's got to be something more? Where we get the new car, we get the new house, or we get the new this or the new that, and we look at it for a while, and then finally one day you look around the house and say, is this all there is? Or your brother gets a better house. You're like, oh, man. I hate when that happens. See, we don't get fullness because we don't fully experience God's love. And I know that sounds so simple, doesn't it? In fact, it almost sounds too basic. You ever get the feeling that maybe we make the Christian life too hard? I mean, really, isn't the Christian life kind of summed up in a couple of things? Jesus came and he died, and he gave us access to his power and his love. Isn't that pretty much the whole thing? Am I missing a memo somewhere? Or is that pretty much the whole thing? And we add all this other stuff to it. Well, you know, you have to pray, you know, 4.5 chapters per day. And you must pray at least 23.25 minutes every day, or you're really not spiritual. Really? I don't think I read that anywhere in the Bible. I was under the impression that God wanted a relationship with me. I don't tell my wife, and trust me, I don't. Just because I look stupid doesn't mean I am. I don't tell my wife, I'm sorry, honey, but you have used up your allotted 32 minutes of my time today. I had 32 minutes for you, and this is 33, and really, I got more important things to do. How would that go? Yeah, there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I would be the one weeping and gnashing my teeth. Is that love? No, love says, "Hi, honey. I'm yours tonight. I'm yours. You want to talk? Let's talk. Want to watch a chick flick? I'm there." Isn't that love? And she says, "All right, I'm yours, Jerry. Want to watch a football game? I'll pretend I'm watching it." Pretty much what I do with most chick flicks, okay? I'll pretend I'm watching it. But isn't that love? Isn't that what it means to be part of something like that? That we have a relationship where we don't limit our time with each other. We don't put all these things. We don't try to make all these rules and regulations and stuff. We just say, "I love you unconditionally. I want you." If we would just learn to love God that way. See, God already loves us that way. If we would just learn to love God that way. Throw out your rules. Think about it. You got rules that you live your Christian life by? Throw them out. Here's the only rule you need. "God, I want to live today so that you're pleased." That's it. Wow. Doesn't that sum everything up? I mean, isn't everything there? So why am I going to read my Bible? Because God's pleased with that. Why am I going to be nice to my neighbor even though he doesn't deserve it? God's pleased with that. Why am I going to pray? Because God's pleased with that. Why will I choose not to sin when I have an opportunity? Because that pleases God. That's the only rule you need. I just want to please God today. If you would just get to that point, everything is there. What kind of power is God offering you? The important kind, power over sin. Power over weakness, power over fear, power over shame, power over despair, power over rage, over lust, over greed, power over pride, power over doubt, power over guilt, power over being powerless. What kind of power is God giving you? What kind of power is God offering you? The only kind you'll ever need. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what your situation, God has all the power you need. And he just wants to give it to you. Isn't that cool? Is that difficult? Is that hard? No. We make it too hard. Things in life that beat us down. Things in our lives that make us miserable. We don't have to live like that anymore. Because God has power for us. Because of God's love. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder how you're going to make it through the day. God has power. God has love. You don't have to look and wonder if your life is ever going to have meaning. Because God has power. God has love. What more could you possibly need? Charles Spurgeon said, "He is truly great in power who has power over himself." God gives you that power. That self-control, the power of your emotions, the things around you. You can try the boot camp approach that I tried early in my ministry. Discipline, discipline, discipline. If I do 300 crunches and I do this and I read my Bible 25 minutes and I do this, then I'm going to be a great Christian. No, what does 1 Corinthians say? If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm a tinkling bell. I got nothing to offer. You're not going to live the Christian life without fully experiencing God's love. And what happens when we fully experience God's love? It's in verse 20. "Now glory be to God, by his mighty power at work within us, he's able to accomplish," I love this, "infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope.
Wait a second, because I got a pretty good imagination.
More than I could ever dare ask? More than I could ever hope for? That's the power God has for me? What's it say? By his mighty power work within us, he's able to accomplish more than we could ever ask or think. You sit here, okay, think about it. I want you to think right now. You're sitting here right now, and if I told you that God was one day going to have you speak his power, his word, in front of thousands of people, some of you would faint. Is that infinitely more than you could ever ask or hope for? And if you doubt for a second that God can't do it, you don't know God. If you doubt for a second that God doesn't love you enough, that he would empower you to do that if he called you to it, you don't know God's love. If I tell you, let's break it down a little more. If I tell you that God wants to move in you to touch your neighbors and your neighborhood and your place of business, whatever you do for a living, that the people around you, that just that little sliver of your life, that God's going to use you and God's going to speak words of wisdom from you, through you to people's lives, and their lives are going to be healed because his power flows to them through his love. If you don't think God can do that through you, you don't know my God. If you don't think that God can use you in those situations, you don't know Jesus. You've never fully experienced his power, and you haven't experienced his love. And if you're sitting here today and your life is hurting, and you don't think you can be better, you don't think that you can be healed, that you can be made whole, you don't know God's power. And you haven't experienced God's love. I get choked up when I think about that because I wonder how many of us are living subpar lives when God wants so much more for us. Verse 21, may he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. See, God's church, you want to know what grows remnant? When God's power and God's love show through you. Look, we can tell everybody we want to. We've got three of the best preachers in the valley. I think we do. Well, two of them anyway. And a third guy that just kind of hangs on. We've got one of the best worship bands in Imperial Valley. And we do. And that is still not going to make people come to our church. Because they want to listen to records. They want to listen to good worship music. They don't have to come here. I got a Pandora station that I listen to at work of David Crowder Band. Okay. I was sweeping up dog things in my backyard yesterday listening to David Crowder. Okay. So we can do that. If they want to hear good preachers, they can dial in podcasts from all over the country. That's not why they'll come here. They'll come here because of you. They'll come here because of God's power and God's love showing through you. That's what's going to grow churches. And let me tell you something. The churches where the people don't show God's love and God's power, and the pastors aren't preaching about showing God's love and God's power, where they're just warming over the saints every Sunday and making them feel good about themselves and sending them home, those churches aren't growing. They're dying. Because God wants people who are ready to do something great for him. Great for him. Not mediocre, not kind of great. But you can't do it without God's love. You can't do it without God's power. I love you guys so much. But I am not willing to let you be less than God wants you to be. So every three Sundays, I'm going to do my best to challenge you. Maybe make you mad. Because I want you to be the person God wants you to be. You're right. I couldn't have said better myself. It's time, guys. It's time. You've been living under your blessing way too long. God, thanks. You are so powerful, God. And for some inexplicable reason, you want to share that power with us. You love us so much, and you want us to share that love, to fully understand that love.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.